Welcome to the Well Studying Podcast. This is episode 55. It's December 12th, 2014. I'm your host, John Pugliano. I'm also the founder and money manager at investablewealth.com. I'd like to welcome all of our new listeners and remind you that if you're not familiar with the podcast, our motto here at the Well Studying Podcast is that money may not buy happiness, but it can buy freedom. And so to help you with your personal journey on the way to financial independence and freedom, I try and teach you one or more of the 10 wealth building principles. Those principles are what has helped me gain my independence and something I've developed over nearly the last 30 years of investing in the stock market. If you're not familiar with the 10 wealth building principles, go back and listen to the first 10 episodes of this podcast. That's where I lay out those fundamentals and you'll get a good solid understanding of where I'm coming from. Now, those principles aren't something I read in a book. It's not something I learned in college. I formulated these principles through my own life experience, observing others, studying middle-class millionaires, and then through trial and error applying them within my own life. Now, don't think that these 10 wealth-building principles are solely about trading stocks or, for that matter, even about making money. Go and listen to them. You might be surprised. Wealth isn't only about money, and there are many paths to wealth, not just trading stocks. Having said that, stock trading is my passion. And so it is something that I love to talk about, sometimes to the detriment of those around me. For the most part, all this week and a good bit of last week, we've just been dwelling on the stock market, and that's because it's been so volatile. We've had such a fantastic rally in the last 7 weeks, and then things have gotten really jittery. So I've been spending a lot of time in the stock market. That wasn't my intent today. I have a couple other topics I wanted to talk to you about, but I have to put those aside. There was a major red flag that occurred overnight in the global markets and then accelerated today within the U.S. market. It caused me to drastically alter my plans, and so in this episode, I do want to explain it to you and walk you through my reasoning. Hey, I do have to put out the disclaimer. As you know, I'm not offering advice. I'm not giving you specific recommendations. I'm simply teaching you investing skills that you can apply and use on your own. Now, if you've been listening in all week, you know that even though the markets have been turbulent, I've been optimistic. I took some profits on Monday. I reallocated my portfolio. I even added some newer positions, including one in a German exchange-traded fund. I was focused on what I felt were solid defensive positions. That would be things like the U.S. dollar, consumer staples, and utilities, just to name a few. You would have heard me say several times over the course of this week that my opinion could change, that I'm not wedded to any particular stock, that I don't have a crystal ball and I don't know exactly what's going to happen. My trading style was very reactive. I use my situational awareness. I formulate a plan. I put my money where my mouth is. I invest accordingly. But when new information comes about or things change or things happen in a way that I didn't anticipate, I will quickly change direction. Now, that isn't something that I just say or that I give lip service to. That's my trading style, and that's exactly what I did today. I've closed out every position that I opened in the past 7 weeks. I've taken profits. I'm hunkering down in cash, and I'm waiting for the next opportunity. Now, I want to reiterate here. The turbulence in the stock market was concerning, but that's not specifically why I sold today. The markets are always jittery. My plan, to quote that euphemism, was to buy on the dips. I know that these lower energy costs, although there has been some panic, it's really just causing a rotation in the stock market. The energy producers are taking a major hit, but energy users and consumer-type products, they've done extremely well over the past 7 weeks. And I expected that to continue, and long-term, I still expect it to continue. That's why I was buying on the dips. I'll share another piece of my strategy with you. I knew that next week, the Federal Reserve is having a press conference. So no matter how rough the markets look this week, no matter what kind of global panic there is, what do I expect the Federal Reserve to say next week during the press conference? Well, we all know what they're going to say. They're going to say whatever it takes to calm the markets. The Federal Reserve chairman will come out, tell everybody exactly what they want to hear. They'll try and paper over the problem, and boom, the stocks will pop as soon as the press conference begins. We've seen that happen over and over and over again for probably the last, 5 years. Federal Reserve chairman will say something sweet. Everyone will go on and continue with this delusion that everything's okay, and we'll finish out the year with a very pleasant Santa Claus rally. Maybe I should say a Janet Yellen rally. Let's give credit where credit is due. And all that might still happen, but what has caused me to sell out all my positions today has been the fact not only that the markets have been very turbulent and that they've done so in increasing volume, and not only that that's spilled over to non-energy related stocks, but what's caused me very much concern that is throughout the week, and particularly in the last 24 hours, the U.S. Treasury yield has plummeted. We started this week with the 10-year Treasury having a yield of 2.3%. We closed out Friday afternoon at 2.1%. That's a drop of more than 8.5%. That's significant. And what's more significant is that it's occurring at the same time that consumer spending is accelerating. Consumer optimism is like at an all-time high. They're happy to go out and spend money because they're spending less at the fuel pump, and they're happy to spend that money somewhere else. They're spending more on everything from potato chips to recreational vehicles. And yet at the same time, we're seeing a plunge in the yield of the 10-year Treasury. That can mean only one thing. The big money is panicked, and they're looking for a safe haven. And what you need to remember is that the bond markets are huge. They dwarf the stock market. That means that we're seeing major money flows take place right now in bonds, not only in U.S. bonds, but in all the global markets as well. This fear could be snowballing into something that not even the Federal Reserve can just paper over next week. That's why I took profits today. And as to exactly what's causing all this panic, well, let me just give you the bottom line. You know that energy prices have been falling. Oil is down probably over 45% since its peak in June. West Texas Intermediate closed today at below $58 a barrel. These prices are just plummeting. And while they're great for consumers, while they're great for those of us that put gas and diesel in our cars and in jet fuel in the airplanes, and again, why I think overall this deflation will be good for the consumer and be good for the overall market, it's not good for the debt market. And that's the source of the panic. You see, the energy sector is very capital intensive. They take on large debts. And this is not only with corporations, but it's also with governments. So with energy prices plummeting, that means that profitability and cash flow in the energy sector is also going to be very weak. And so the fear is that governments and companies are going to default on their loans. Now, how significant this will be, we don't know. If it's just a couple wildcatters up in North Dakota that default because they can't make a profit on their shale oil, well, that's one thing. But if it's many of those companies or if it's a few large companies, that could cause problems. And those problems could create a global financial panic, and the liquidity problem would accelerate if it's not only a few companies that go bankrupt, but if it's countries, energy-producing countries. Who would that be? There's a whole host of players. It could be Nigeria, or Venezuela, or Mexico, or Russia. Don't think that this debt crisis could be contained to just some of the riskier countries. You probably can find a more stable and tranquil region in the world than the Scandinavian countries. And yet overnight, Norway was forced to cut its interest rates drastically to compensate for the revenue they're losing from the oil they pump out of the North Sea. How bad did they cut rates? Well, it was historic. In fact, there's only been one time that Norwegian rates have been this low. And when was that? It was the panic we saw in the last financial crisis in 2008-2009. So are we on the cusp of a global financial crisis? I have no way of knowing. I can't predict a future. I let the markets tell me what's going on. And what I saw was interest rates falling this week and the stock market unable to recover. In the past 5 trading days, 4 days have been down. The only up day we had was on Thursday. There was an attempt and a mild recovery on Tuesday that looked positive, but Monday was drastically down. There was a lot of volatility Tuesday, and then it made most of that up. Although Thursday was a good day, it was very volatile and it closed well off the highs of the day. It closed in the lower 25% of that day's trading range. And then today was abysmal. The S&P 500 dropped by about 1.6%. It did so in heavy volume. It not only closed at the bottom out of its day's trading range, but it's sitting right on the 50-day moving average. Well, with every stock trade, there's only 3 outcomes. The market goes up, the market goes down, or the market remains the same. Right now, with the S&P sitting on its 50-day moving average, that's a positive sign. It showed that the 50-day moving average is acting as support. Next week, when the Federal Reserve has their news conference, if they can calm down the markets, you might see a nice bounce off that 50-day moving average. It could be a time to get back into the market. I have no way of knowing. So we'll just have to wait and see next week. We'll have to see if that 50-day moving average acts as support. That's what you want to keep your eye on. If it bounces off that, could be a buying opportunity. But if it falls through, that would be a very bad sign. The way I read the chart, it looks to me that there's very little support below the 50-day moving average until it would get down to the 200-day moving average, and that's at about 1945. That's a drop from where we are of almost 3%. Not coincidentally, that would take us back to the levels of where we started 7 weeks ago when this rally began. My gut feel as of today is that we're headed back there. But we'll see what happens. That's what I love about the stock market. It's unpredictable and never boring. Well, I hope you've been able to preserve your profits. I hope you've made some money over the last 7 weeks. In the next two episodes, I won't be talking specifically about the stock market. I do want to cover some questions that we've had from listeners. And so in order to get caught up, I'm going to record at least one episode over the weekend, maybe two. But that next episode will answer listener questions about the different asset classes. So we'll be covering the difference between bonds, stocks, ETFs, mutual funds. And then in the following episode, and again, I'm going to try and do that this weekend as well, I'm going to discuss what I believe is the perfect, the absolute best trading strategy. And you're not going to want to miss that episode because I'm sure my answer is going to surprise you. Well, as always, if you have questions or concerns or comments, you can reach me through the website, wealthsteading.com. And until the next episode, this is John Pugliano wishing you the very best of returns.